Today's program was brought to you by Union Beer. For more information, visit greatbrewers.com.
Host of Full Service Radio, you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swoon.
Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel this hole. Did you let me alone?
Welcome to Love Bites on Heritage Radio Network, where dining and dating collide in New York City. I'm one of your hosts, food writer Jacqueline Raposo. You can catch me on everything as wordsfoodart.com. I'm 34, straight, and single.
And I am your other host, Ben Rosenblatt. I am an actor, a writer, a musician, occasionally a bartender and server. You can check me out at benrosenblattactor.com. I'm psyched for today's episode. I'm 33, straight, and totally single.
I'm psyched that you're psyched, because in a little bit, we're going to be joined by Will and Julie Horowitz. They are the chef-manager sibling team of Duck's Eatery and Harry and Ida's here in New York City's East Village. They spend a lot of time together, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But first, Ben, let's talk about kids. So last week, I had a story published on Cosmopolitan titled, I Can't Have Children, But I Don't Want to Anyway.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's in the sex and relationship section in case anybody else wants to look it up. I'd appreciate it. And it brought up a lot of conversations in my life. So I welcomed thoughts and questions from listeners and friends and readers. And I want to touch on some of them, including, of course, how this plays into dating. But before that, let's establish that neither of us wants children. Ben, why don't you want children?
Well, I am not totally 100% decided on whether or not I want them. I'm lucky to be a guy and that I've got a lot more time to kind of make that decision than
I'm 34. Like, if I did, it's a tighter window.
Like, you're going to want to get that done.
Right, if I did, which I don't.
Fairly
soon. Which is
why
I win at life.
It's awesome. But yeah, so I've got some time to kind of figure that out for myself. I'm leaning toward no. I think for a number of reasons. I think the main one being that I'm not dying to do it.
If you met somebody who was dying to do it, would that sway you?
I mean, that's, I think, the one reason why I'm like leaving it on the table for myself is that I have so much open space in my life. I've committed to so few things in my life so far, which leaves a lot of room for me to have amazing experiences and for me to have the possibilities are kind of endless for me at the moment. And hopefully one of the things that will narrow those possibilities down is meeting someone awesome. And if I meet a great woman and she really wants kids, and that's really important to her, I could see that becoming something that becomes more important to me.
Good. And that's good. I think for other people, like, I think that having kids, if you are more fervently in either camp, though, like, I do not want kids. I considered it once with one guy, and looking back, thank God we broke up, because that would have been a huge change to what I want in life. That, not that you'd regret having children no matter what, I'm sure, but, like, It's fundamentally different from
what I
want.
Why were you considering it with him?
Because I was like madly in love with him. Because he could offer me the life with children that I would settle for. It wasn't going to be moving to the suburbs, being a soccer mom, having a minivan, living in a house. It was going, like, he traveled the world. Like, he, it was so, like,
so
looking back, it was
sure
so juvenile.
Are you sure that if you fell madly in love with someone again and they could offer you that same possibility, that wouldn't change for
you
again?
No, I'm 5 years older now. I'm much more fervent in what I want and who I am. And I really, like, that was a blip. That was like a week in my life. That was a blip. No, I'm much more excited now. I'm in the camp. I do not want children. I'm in the camp. But that brings us up to a good thing that a listener sent in about dating people with kids.
Yeah.
So
would you date someone who had kids already?
It would depend on the circumstance. Again, it would depend if this person wanted me to be like, to move to the suburbs and be a soccer mom. Like, that's not what I want for my life in general. So that person probably no. If it was somebody who lived in the city, somebody who traveled, somebody whose kid was, if they were a part-time dad, like, do I want, like, two kids under eight that this person's a sole provider for? No, because then I'd be essentially becoming a mom. It would depend on the circumstance of what else that person brought to the table.
So you're talking about potentially someone with, like, older kids, maybe.
Yeah. Or a kid that they split custody with. But again, it would depend mostly on the large part of this person as a human being other than being a father. Like, that would play into it.
Like, how in love with them you are, basically. Or, like,
No, because to me, this is something that comes up in the beginning. You know, it's not like, it's like you have to, if you meet somebody online, they say they have kids. It's a choice you may have to make from the beginning. It's not like I'm going to fall in love with them and then find out they have a kid. If I did, there's other problems.
So then what are the qualities that someone would need to have for you to date them if they
I don't know. It depends on different people. It depends on the person. I'm just going to say I'm not completely against it. Like this guy, Ryan, wrote in and said, like, let me look exactly see what he said so I don't misquote him. He said, my advice, whoever you may date in the future, meet the kid. It says a lot about the man.
That's true. Probably,
which is very, very true. Which is very, very true. So if I met a man who I clicked with to begin with, you and I have talked about how not like every first date, most first dates don't like end up wanting a second date. If it got far enough that I was really into the guy and he had a kid, of course, meet the kid, see how that plays into their life. It's not like I have rules right now for what would work and what wouldn't work. You know, I don't have rules for in general for the kind of person.
Yeah, although the whole thing of meet the kid because it says a lot about the man, I feel like you should be able to learn enough about the man without having to meet the kid.
I completely agree with that.
Like, I shouldn't be learning about the person I'm dating through their kid more than I am learning about them through them.
True.
Right?
True. Let's go to a different topic from another person who sent in a tidbit of information for us. This comes from Amanda. She says that she's lucky that her husband never wanted children either. My in-laws, however, she says, refuse to accept it. They think I convinced him. I'm not going to change my mind. I like my life.
They
do need to butt out. And then she goes on, I hate the stigma that comes with having no kids. Who's going to take care of you? You'll regret it. You're selfish. I hate that, too. I'm not selfish because I don't want kids. Well, I wrote this in the story.
First of all, that like those statements right there are just like antithetical in themselves. Like, who's going to take care of you being the first question, and then you're selfish
for not having
them. You know who's going to
take care of you? Like, the $200,000 that you didn't spend on the kid is going to take care of you. You're going to be able to hire people to take care of you. $200,000?
Kids cost a lot more than $200,000.
Well, I read that stat somewhere, that before college, a typical middle-class kid cost the parent $200,000. So we're talking about like public schools. We're not talking about kids who go to, like, you know, we're not talking about their kids. $200,000. That $200,000 that I'm going to save can pay for me to have somebody come and wipe my ass later in life.
Oh, Jesus.
And not have a kid do it.
No, the mental image here is just,
you're welcome, very happy Monday,
unappealing.
Benjamin. But then the other part about being selfish, like, we do not have a population crisis in this country.
Everyone is selfish. Let's just, like,
everyone has some part of them that is selfish.
You know, every action that every human being undertakes is selfish.
I disagree, but that's because you're you and I'm me.
Well, everything everyone does is serving a need of theirs. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, that's not exactly the same as being selfish.
Well, it is. I mean, it's serving yourself. It's not the same as being self-centered, maybe, but
I think these are three different terms: selfish, self-centered, and self-serving. Anyway, so let's talk about self-serving. So everything you do is self-serving. I can agree with that.
To some degree.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
And, you know, self-centered, I think, or greedy, or, you know, egotistical, or,
that's,
you know,
what people are implying when they say you're selfish if you don't have kids.
Yeah, and I think that's absurd. I think, in fact, the opposite of true is true of a lot of people who do have kids. Not to call anyone out or anything, but, like, people oftentimes have kids because it's the thing you do when you get to a certain age, or because, you know, there's
you want more
pressures.
Meaning in your life.
Exactly, which those to me are selfish reasons, as opposed to, like, the actual desire to bring a kid into the world and being in the position to be a good parent.
Before people out there hate this, I do want to point out that Ben and I both love kids. Like, Ben has a niece that he loves.
She's pretty much the only kid I love, though, to be honest.
I have a lot of friends who love kids.
To death.
There are a lot of children that I love. I love
babies. Okay, that's not true. There's other children I love, too.
Right. So I just want people out there to know that we are not evil human beings. It's not like we are anti-children. And we're not anti-children for other people, either. We're speaking purely for
ourselves. I like the ones that I know. I also see the thing is, there's my niece, and I have other friends who have amazing children, and I am the guide father.
You are the guide father of a mutual friend of ours,
young boy.
Poor boy. I can't believe they chose you.
Oh my God, how dare you say this?
I'm sorry, but on this show we've established that you're like the sad pessimistic one a little bit. So maybe little L will...
When he's experiencing those feelings, he will know that he's not alone.
Luckily he's got another guide parent too, who maybe will balance it out a little bit.
Wow, I just can't believe how insulting you're being toward me right now.
I'm not meaning to be insulting to you.
Awful.
I'm sorry.
Little Larkin, you have an amazing godfather, and you're going to have an amazing life.
You do, Little Larkin.
And I'm going to teach you so many great things about the world.
You're very lucky, Little Larkin. Just you wait and see. Do we have... All right, so quickly, before we wrap this segment up. So finances, that's another thing that somebody wrote in. Sent an article in the Huffington Post about, you know, a 51-year-old woman being able to afford, having a business, retiring.
See, to
that's
me...
That's great. Finances is a huge part of
it. That is amazing for her, and I think that is a huge part of it. Although... to my estimation, the financial piece is not so much important for like the finances that I'm going to save, but about do I have the money, the resources to actually raise a child the right way and in a way that they're going to have a good life.
Raise your hand in this room if you do. None of us raised our hands.
Yes, there you go. So, and a lot of people have children in those circumstances anyway.
It makes life a lot more
stressful.
And to
me, that's much more selfish than deciding not to have a kid.
Exactly. Finally, is there anything you want to say finally about this before we take off? I'm just looking through our notes here. Sorry, listeners. We have a lot of notes because a lot of people sent in some great stuff.
I'll chime in on would I date someone who has a kid because I didn't go there yet. I don't know that I would. Or I don't know that I would as something that would be like something that I would consider to be a long-term, something I'm interested in pursuing for...
Why not?
Because unless I really 100% think it's going to last forever, which you can never know, I don't think it's fair to the child to have
coming
out of the life, you know?
Well, I think that goes pretty classically into when it's the right time to introduce a child to a significant other, too. So you would, it'd be for the parent to choose that, probably.
True.
Yeah. Okay, well, that was super fun, and Ben, I'm going to apologize to him profusely during the break. We're going to take a
I'll never forgive you.
We're going to take a quick musical break with Keto, and we will be back soon with Will and Julie Horowitz. Come right back.
From Cooking Issues, and I'm here to talk to you about the Museum of Food and Drink, which is finally getting a brick-and-mortar space right here in Brooklyn, New York. So the Museum of Food and Drink is opening the MOFAD Lab, our first laboratory and gallery space, where we will be putting on an exhibition called Making It or Faking It, the History of the Flavor Industry. And it tackles a very important topic, which is how the food system got to be the way it is now as a result of the intervention of the flavor industry, how that happened. Get your tickets at tickets.mofad.org to come see the first exhibit ever of the Museum of Food and Drink at the MOFAD Lab, brought to you by Infinity on 62 Bayard Street.
And we are back. And we are so psyched to have us within the studio today, Will and Julie Horowitz. Thank you for being here.
Our pleasure.
They are the brother-sister chef-manager team that owns Duck's Eatery on East 12th Street and the somewhat recently opened Harry and Ida's Meat and Supply Company at Deli on Avenue A that's blown up on the NYC pastrami scene. with everyone from the Daily Meal to Eater to Gothamist to the Village Voice to the New York Times saying that they're giving NYC standbys a run for their money. So welcome to the studio.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming, guys.
I've had the pastrami, by the way.
We both had the pastrami. It is after a Heritage
tasty.
Radio alcoholic infused party, we had the pastrami, and thank God for you guys, is all we'll say. So I interviewed Will a couple years ago for one of my columns, and through it I learned that though they're both native New Yorkers, you know, you guys both were in very different parts of the country doing some very cool things, teaching and cooking on islands in the middle of nowhere. And then Will gets a call. In my mind, it's from Susan Sarandon, being like, Will, cook at my spin club, because Will is a world championship ping pong player. And so you...
Whoa. World championship ping pong player?
It's kind of a little blown out of proportion. I was a pretty good...
How far back from the table do you
stand? I put it like this, right? At least I was good enough where if someone could beat me in the country, I pretty much knew him very well.
Wow.
So I wasn't ranked for...
How do you hold the paddle? Do you hold it the Asian way? The paddle?
Depends who I'm playing.
Okay.
Am I playing you? Am I playing a professional? Who am I playing?
A professional.
I hold it very like shake hand, they call it. It's almost like similar to a kitchen knife, actually.
Oh, yeah. Like guiding
it. Which he's actually played with before.
Yeah, we used to play with a chef knife.
Well, did you like slice the ball in half as it's coming through?
No, but I drunkenly tried a lot. Does that count? We had this thing for a while where we were doing a chef knife, but we decided very quickly in the early stages of spin that after like 2-3 drinks, I'm not allowed to play with a chef knife. So I got really good at playing with a stupid, stool instead. That was like
stool?
My thing there. Yeah. Let's move past that.
Okay. Talking about spin. So you got hired to do the food at Spin, and you called on your sister Julie to come home and help you. So Julie, what was so cool about this idea? Like, I'm very close with my brother too, so I'm particularly interested in your guys' relationship. I've worked with my brother before. Hi Danny, you're my favorite, I love you. So like, what was so big about the call to come home to work in food with your brother when you were teaching on an island in the Indian Ocean somewhere?
I should preface by saying that I graduated like smack in the middle of the economic recession in 2008.
Fun.
So it was like teach for America or volunteering somewhere.
Gotcha.
So instead, I went to this tropical island. I was teaching for about a year, and I had actually just gotten the offer to renew my contract. And I was actually Skyping home with my mom, told her about the renewal, and she started crying. So I realized, you know what, I want to be home, I want to be closer to my family. And then soon after, I got on the computer with Will, who was like, I just got this crazy opportunity, you got to come home, start it with me. And aside from having no other options, I thought, you know what, why not? We had actually drawn up a rough business plan before I left.
So you had sort of thought about it already.
It in a very kind of primitive level. It never really got anywhere. It was a late night grilled cheese place by the
Sounds
bars
really
that
good.
we grew up in. Yeah.
Of course, the drunk ping pong player thought of
right.
that one.
Grilled cheese. So what were like? What was the early period of working together like? Like, did you guys get along really well, and so you thought that that would translate, or like, were there some really shitty bumps in the road to begin with?
Honestly, I don't know why we thought that was going to be a good idea.
Did your mom make you do it to get her back home from the tropical island?
No, working together.
Oh, terrible.
I'm glad you both agree on that. I was sort of waiting for a second for one of you to be like,
It wasn't like a fancy of like, you know, like this great like picturesque family like together
this
and taking
wasn't well
orders
thought
and
out.
Stuff. Like, it was just like, oh, well, what the fuck do we do now?
It was a spontaneous decision, for sure.
So why did it work in the beginning? Like, how did you work it out together?
You know, we both come to the table with very, very different skill sets.
Fear of homelessness.
Fear does amazing things.
Nothing else. You know, I think our mom definitely got a handful of hysterical phone calls from me. I don't know about from him. I've come to learn now that that is not the professional way of handling a business relationship.
Are there any tidbits from those phone calls that you're willing to share right now?
She's talking about last week,
right,
by the way.
Like on the car right here. No, you know, just your typical run of the mill. My brother's being a jerk. My brother punched me. That kind of thing.
Punch you? What?
Is there domestic abuse taking place?
Yeah, the old like Indian bird in your arm.
I'm sorry, it's so hard for me to concentrate. I haven't been in this radio station in a long time. It's a great place to be.
It is.
I used to live like a block away from Roberto's, but it's like the only damn place where a server can wear a cape. And it's been bugging me out the entire time. It's amazing. Like, I want to wear a cape. Why can't chefs wear a cape?
You can wear it. You guys can
wear whatever
you want.
There's too much fire and knives in the kitchen to wear a cape. We have a small kitchen.
Yeah. Anyway. Now I'm going to be distracted by that, too.
Yeah, I apologize. But I mean, it's a great thing to be distracted about. It's a cape. Yeah.
Well, I know this is an awesome studio. We are very lucky to be here at Heritage. It's cool. How, let's jump to the dating thing real quickly, because I know the food thing will keep on coming. So how are you guys? So you guys have two restaurants together. You're together a lot. You do very different things, but you've got sort of, you know, a good sized team now that, according to what all of those publications say, you're all pretty close with. You guys are sort of like this big happy group of highly hyper creative people. But how does that work? Like, my brother and I don't talk about dating, really. He does not want to know any details about my love life. I doubt that, actually, he's even listening to this show right now. So how does, like, your dating... I mean, Julie, you're dating somebody in your business?
He was, but she fired him.
Ooh, wait, you fired your boyfriend?
Fire him. We had a conversation where it was perhaps not so mutually agreed upon that he would stop working for us.
Whoa. Okay,
wait, are you still dating him?
I am.
Wow. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about how, with you guys, about how, like, so he was working for you, and then he wasn't, and then he was again, and then you started dating?
No, we actually, so we went to high school together.
Okay.
Will was running our booth at the HBO summer movie nights in Bryant Park. We were selling pastrami. They ran into each other. I guess Will offered him a job at Doug's, and I kind of
gave him these sultry eyes.
Why are you drawing this whole thing out? I gave him a job. He's a good friend. You dated him, and then he wasn't doing a good job, so you fired him, and you guys have lived together. They just had their two-year anniversary.
Oh, so you're serious?
It had nothing to do with his job performance.
Ooh. That's his contradictory statement right here.
Kyle, if you're listening, I love you, and I'm so sorry, dude. Is that what you told him? Seriously, though?
Oh, my God. Oh, this got so awkward.
So communication is a strong point for you guys,
very
right?
much so, like, clearly. Yes.
Will, what wasn't he doing, Will?
Yeah, Will. What was he doing?
I wasn't the one that fired him. Don't look at me.
Well, so he was a friend from high school. Were, like, you cool with her dating somebody that worked in your company?
Oh, yeah. I don't give a shit. Yeah. Okay. Why not?
Would you care if he did? Because, Will, you're still single. Are you single?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, you were a couple weeks ago, but now a lot has changed, so I need to make sure that I re-ask these questions. So you're still single. Would you care, Julie, if he was dating somebody who worked in your company?
I mean, there's absolutely nothing that I can say right now. You know, I've sort of thrown that rule out the window, I think. No, I mean, listen, with whatever girl is showing interest in Will, I've got this... I get very protective.
Anyone that's ever worked in a restaurant knows that, let's be honest, restaurants are the most, like, incestuous places on earth.
It's
dirty, actually.
It's very interesting.
It's not happening that much at Ducks.
A little bit. It's very interesting.
It's actually happening right now, but they don't know that we know.
Typically, it's the older brother who's very protective of the younger sister, but you were just like, I don't give a shit who she dates.
No, I mean, listen, don't get me wrong. Like, if I give a shit, like, if it's someone that's, like... like, caring and, like, a good, genuine person, then, like, in that sense, I don't care if, like, their relationship to me. You know what I mean? Like, I only care about that. Like, if it's that, besides that, like, I'm not like, oh, my best friend wants to go, like, date my sister. Like, oh, that's messed up, man. Like, I'm going to meet you in the parking lot out back and forth. You know, like, that's ridiculous. You know, like, who fucking cares? Like, it's my best
friend. Family members do that. It's so bad.
If it's really a good friend of mine or whatever it is, then, like, when I want that more because I genuinely like that person. So, you know.
Cheers to that. High five to that. I like that.
But you are protective of him, you're saying.
I mean, I think he's got a way more laid-back approach when it comes to my dating life. I think when... I definitely have, like, a set of criteria that...
What is your criteria for him?
I mean,
well, let's be honest. It's all pretty reactionary. I have a beautiful history of dating a whole lot of fucking wackos. So
it's like a lot of wackos.
And you've had to live through that. So it makes complete sense that you might sort of want a little bit more.
Yeah. If they're vegetarian, obviously that's kind of a no-go.
That's a tough one for me. Hard. I feel like in the city, I deal with that constantly. Yeah. Or the thing is that for me is that like, this is a great one. Girls are, well, they'll tell me, you know, especially as a chef, like they'll tell me about how much they love food and this and that and how they eat everything and there's this, they want to try everything. And then you'll go out with them and we'll go out to eat and they'll be like, oh no, I don't really want to get the lobster because I do eat everything. I just don't eat anything from the sea and things that fly.
So, Will, you own two like hot restaurants. Why are you still single?
It's like a double-edged sword. It's like, listen.
Like you must get a lot of attention, right?
You tell a chef that, like, he can go eat anywhere for free, but he never gets to do that because he's always working any time that he could go eat anywhere for free. So, like, that's how we have two restaurants right now. Because everyone's working like crazy people, you know?
Which is why it makes sense to date somebody who's working for you.
Whoa. Let's not start trying to flip it's that into, like, that some sort of, like, motto of our business.
I love how much this says about, like, both of you as people. You're like, it's time management dating somebody.
She's crazy. A second away from throwing that into, like, an employee manual now if we start justifying this. It's not okay. That's not a normal thing to do.
No,
it's fine. We've moved past it, but let's not promote it.
Well, I want to go back for 1 second to Julie, what you want in a girl for Will, because I want this to sort of be like a call out for if you want to date Will Horowitz, you have to have these attributes according
to
maybe
we can get some emails in and we can hook up Will
with
someone.
What does a woman have to have in order to date your brother? According to you, not according to him, according to you.
What?
I just want to hear from her first.
I think... Obviously, she's got to be attractive.
See, she's got your back. Look at that. Yeah. The first thing. Got
to
be
attractive.
She's got
to be able to kind of hold her own in a room. You know, Will likes to schmooze it up, so she's got to be able to sort of do the same without him.
Yeah, I don't like shy people. I mean, don't wrong. Like,
it's hard in this industry.
Like,
yeah.
Being with someone, like, I like someone that can hold their own.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think she's got to be creative. Obviously, has to love food or at the very least be open to learning about food. She's got to love nature because Will spends probably 85% of his free time now in the woods, foraging, picking things, eating mushrooms.
I realize that doesn't go hand in hand with every girl.
It does not.
I took a girl out the other day and she was just a friend, but like I took her out to go mushrooming with me because I was in this mushroom class and like, you know, I don't know if you know a huge amount about mycology groups in New York, but you know, they're not, like, the coolest people. They're some of the greatest people I've ever met in my life. But they're not, like, really, like, you know, the...
They're nerds.
But it's... Regardless of which, it took me a second to put together and be like, oh, this is kind of a weird thing to take, like, a normal person to. Do you want to go, like, look around the woods for, like, fungus? But, you know... So they have to be able to do that because I'm not going to stop doing that. I'm not going to stop going outside. I'm not going to stop working like an animal and going out and like having fits of mezcal drunkenness around the East Village. Like those things are going to happen either way. So
she's got to be open to those kind of things too, not just to food, open to mushroom foraging and smoked and smoking and pickling things. You guys, if you haven't been listeners out there to Harry and Ida's, it's sort of like from when I first met Will a couple years ago and he was smoking things upstairs in his apartment and feeding them to me on the side. Like he's now has like this massive space to be smoking and preserving and pickling.
Well,
and
I mean, it's just, listen, you don't have to, for me, like whether it's someone I spend a lot of time with, whether it's a friend or a girlfriend, whatever it is, it's like, I don't expect someone to like the same things that I like. That's a crazy, like totally egocentric thing. I think for me, it's just this idea of like, just being excited to go out there and try things. Like,
well, you're a very curious person. You're curious about a lot.
Well, shit, we don't have a lot of fucking time here. Uh-huh. You know, like, go out there. Get out there. Like, try stuff. Like, say yes to things. Like,
yeah,
they do everything. But, like, get at it, man. Like, we don't got time to be sitting around and saying we don't like things from, you know, the flyer from the fucking ocean.
Boom.
Ocean's everywhere.
I love that. All right. Now that everyone thinks Jacqueline and I are total baby-hating people who want to, with designs to sort of end the human population.
All I'm going to say is I read this thing not too long ago, and you know, every time they get the largest amount of Nobel laureates in a room, they do say the biggest problem with our support system is overpopulation.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to say that.
Totally true.
Good. Thank you.
The carbon footprint of a human being is massive. Anyway, just to tie this in, first, we'll get to a question first, but first, really quickly, do the two of you want children?
I mean, ones that I know of or don't know of.
Oh, my God.
how many might be out there already, Will? How many might you have out there?
I don't think so, but, like, listen, I've been in a lot of countries. I'm not going to lie. And I mean, it's not too crazy of an idea.
If anyone out there is looking for their daddy, it could be Will.
His head is in her hand.
No, but for real, do you want children?
Of your own in the future with a partner that you will...
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, for me, it's like... I think of, like, and I've been spending a lot of time around some of my friends' kids, actually, this weekend, so, and we have a little brother, actually, but I think it's the experiences in the kid's life that make me want to like children. Like, I want to, like, you know, like, send my kid, like, out into the woods and, like, buy him his first gun and, like, do, like, take him hunting and, like, just do cool shit, you know, like, just, I don't know. Those are the things that, like, make me happy.
How about you, Julie? About.
I mean, I think, you know, right now I feel like the restaurants are my kids. And if I have actual kids that turn out anything like that or as burdensome as those, then no. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm at the age now where everybody around me is starting to have kids. So I'm definitely...
Kyle.
You're feeling the pressure? Is that what you're saying?
I'm trying to, like,
and how does that pressure respond? How do you respond to that pressure?
I mean, at first, like the first few babies, I was just like... I can't handle this. This is not anything that I want right now.
Do you feel like obligated to, or like that you have
to? I do.
To have
I definitely
them?
Feel, as a woman, almost 30, I definitely feel like there is an obligation out there to procreate. But
and maybe it's easier for me. I mean, like, well, our father had like he just had a kid at like 60. So,
wow.
Or was it 60?
Not quite. But
what, like 58?
Yeah. He's an old dad.
Yeah. So, I mean,
definitely more pressure for women.
I'm chilling.
That seems like a good age to me.
Those things I want to calm down, slower pace of life. Maybe a wheelchair.
If you're dating someone, last.
So if you're dating us, since we're on the half of the room that doesn't want children, we sort of split down the middle here. When would you want to find out that you're going on a date with someone or a couple days with someone? When do you think? And this is sort of it ties into what. This reader, Adam, wrote into about, like, he was dating a woman who was very upfront from the beginning that she didn't want to have kids. And he chose to date her. And in his mind, he's like, oh, maybe I can change her mind. But, it didn't. But he enjoyed the time he had with her. But he said, like, she respected me enough to tell me upfront. And so it was a choice. When do you think it's the right time? Like, because it's also so weird to bring it up too soon. It's like on a first date. Yeah, to say,
I mean,
I don't want
kids.
Definitely
not the first date.
I know,
I think
it's
we
so
could
weird.
All be rationally clear about that. Like,
so
that's
no,
nice.
You see, I don't want
but
children.
I also think the older you get, the time frame is, you know, you want to know relatively soon. I think if you're 33 and you're both dating and it's been a month and you've dated enough people to know that you like this person and want to move forward, I feel like a month in is kind of...
That's a very good point, because like Ben and I have talked about how like it takes a while to find somebody you actually want to keep on dating.
Right.
So
yeah,
you
but
know
yeah,
enough
but at the
you
same time, though, talking
them.
To someone the first date, that's like...
No,
that's like
not
a scene as Soylent Green or something,
date.
You know? That's
also,
like...
I also don't know that it necessarily has to be like a, all right... Let's have this conversation. Right. I don't want like
it,
some, it just might be able to come up in natural conversation,
I mean,
and you could just.
I'm just
curious
if it is on the first date. What course was it at least in between?
I don't.
Is
know.
That like after salad?
Fifth bottle of wine.
Dessert?
You know,
like, it's, yeah. All right, fair. That makes sense.
the more one, more things come out.
Exactly.
All right, so we're gonna. I guess let's say a month. If it's been a month that you've been dating somebody, and then
you should probably talk about it at that point if it hasn't come up already.
Unless you're like 23,
right? It's true. Yeah, because like we're talking about mostly on the show dating in your 30s. So to me, that makes a lot of sense. If you actually feel like you could care about somebody, that's something that
I
you
think that's
share.
Pretty reasonable. Because then you're just like introducing yourself, and you're like, "Hey, I'm here for procreation. It's good to meet you."
Some crazy people, like a lot of women who want to have kids, are like, "I'm 34. I don't." There are a lot of women who do, and that, like you were saying, Julie, like the timeline is short. You know, the older women get, it sucks, but that's
I mean,
that's our bag.
Well, a lot of people are out there trying to meet someone just to have a kid.
To have
with
a
them.
Family, yeah. So, to those of you who are, good luck. We salute you.
Is there a site for that?
They're probably the site.
We should start one. We might be able to make a killing off of that.
Yeah, this might be our moneymaker. Sadly, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, both of you.
Us.
We really appreciate you having here. That's our show. Thanks to Will and Julie, and thanks to all of you people who wrote in and responded to our questions about dating and babies. We'll be back next week for the Lady Writers Show with Sarah Zorn of Brooklyn Magazine and Jamie Feldmar of Mona Sarah. Creative. Yeah, they're awesome. Mm-hmm. Debating the married and single takes on being a food writer in or out of love in New York City. Until then, our theme song is Chloroform Perfume by No Denial, crooned by my pal Benny here. Our engineer today was Malachi. Thank you, Malachi. And our sponsor was Union Beer, who we love so very much. Thanks to all of them, and thanks to you for listening. If you liked what you heard, and we hope you did, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and discover more awesome shows here at heritageradionetwork.org. We will be back next week.
Bye.
Your love is chloroform perfume. Just one whiff and you start to swoon.
Now tell me how I'm supposed to feel this hole.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Love is chloroform perfume. Just one way.